Do the phone call while I'm on here.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello, Max. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Grandma. How are you?
I'm doing good too. What are you doing?
I'm just hanging out with some friends right now.
Oh, that's good. Good for her. Okay. I'll let you go, but I just want to tell you I'm having a good day, and I hope you are too.
All right, I am, Grandma.
Okay, love you.
All right, I love you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Get away from her, you bitch!
Great kid! Don't get cocky!
A stew only counts as one!
Okay, you people sit tight, hold the fort, and keep the home fires burning. If we're not back by dawn, call the president.
Groovy.
Welcome back to Good for an Action Movie. That's right, baby. We're back on time with a review of the movie we promised last week. It's Kong, Skull Island. I am Will Thornton.
And I'm Max Steele.
And we're here delivering you more of those thoughts on your favorite action movies, like Kong,
Trying
Skull
out
Island.
Different taglines. We're working on it.
Look, folks, there's no script for this show. Okay?
We tried America's Rocking Roller Coast. We tried The Snack That Smiles Back.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Oh, those were very good. We'll get right into it. We're talking about Kong Skull Island that came out in 2017.
That's right. This movie is directed by Jordan Vogt Roberts.
And it stars John C. Reilly.
That's right. As it does, as Kong, he is in stop motion.
He's kind of king around here.
This movie is the second installment in the MonsterVerse, Warner Brothers' shared universe of Kong and Godzilla movies.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It is. It is in the same, it's same universe as 2014's Godzilla.
Is that the one with Bryan Cranston?
Yep, the very same. And Elizabeth Olsen and other people.
But it would be a prequel to that, right?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Very important part of the movie.
Yeah, so, and then I think the next one is Godzilla.
Godzilla Attacks.
It's like, it's their version of like Godzilla Final Wars, where I think they're going to bring in Mothra and Ghidorah and Rodan and stuff.
Oh, Rodan.
Mm-hmm.
What's the big turtle?
That's Gamera. And I think they're actually bringing in Gamera, although Gamera I don't think ever appeared in a Toho Godzilla movie. I could be wrong there.
Gamera's my favorite. I just want to get that out
Gamera,
there.
The Gamera movies are really weird. At the end of the episode, I will be recommending Gamera.
All of them.
Anyways, and then the next movie after that planned is, I believe, Kong versus Godzilla.
Oh, that'll be really cool.
Which was made by Toho, and it's very weird, and maybe I'll talk about that later.
Cool.
But let's get into Kong Skull Island. So the movie is set in the 1970s in the declining days of the war in Vietnam.
Literally the day.
Yes, that is
that,
true. Nixon announces it.
Mm-hmm. That is the – well, it's the same day as kind of like the inciting incidents of this movie.
Right. So we follow a bunch of characters. This movie has, honestly, a very good cast. It has a lot of great
stacked
actors. Samuel L. Jackson, John Goodman, Tom Hiddleston, Brie Larson, John C. Reilly, the guy that plays Sean in The Good Place. I'm trying to think if I'm forgetting any other, like...
Those are the big ones.
There are a lot of other characters who are played very well, or at least good enough for an action movie. So we follow a bunch of different people. You have John Goodman, who works for the Monarch Agency of the government, which investigates like strange creatures and stuff. And Monarch was, I think, also involved with the Godzilla movie. So that's sort of the organization that ties the two together. And he has a couple assistants. You have Samuel L. Jackson as a hardened sort of Colonel Kurtz-like character who has sort of is a bit of a warmonger, you might call him.
He's a warmonger, but he's almost like addicted to the responsibility to his men and basically cannot leave. Basically the impetus for his plot is that everyone's commanded to go home, but before they go home, he gets the message that they need that John Goodman's expedition, which they're piggybacking off of some other scientific expedition, needs a military escort, and he, though it is a voluntary thing, makes his entire crew do it.
Yeah,
because he basically does not want to leave Vietnam,
yeah,
which I think is an extremely interesting thing. And something that really hasn't been explored in a lot of war movies, people that just don't want to leave because that's the only thing they know.
Yeah.
And he's probably the most interesting character in the movie, and he does it very well. He's Samuel L. Jackson. He can do whatever he wants.
He's very good in the movie. For a King Kong movie, which has a lot of actors, and I think the exploration of sort of his character is something I was not anticipating and is very interesting. And you've also got Tom Hiddleston, who plays like a British...
An ex-Special Forces.
Yeah, yeah.
He was in Vietnam for a short time and then left the Special Forces for the United Kingdom. It's not a lot of
It doesn't
of
matter.
Setup. Yeah. He's Tom Hiddleston, and yeah. he's got a gun.
Yeah, and then you've got Brie Larson, and she's Brie Larson, and she has a camera.
She's got a camera. Brie Larson with a camera. Yeah. She's always trying to get out of that room.
Yeah, yeah. The titular room. And she is a wartime photographer who tags along on the expedition as well for... just to take pictures. So, long story short, all these people are going to Skull Island, a mythic island that has been responsible for all sorts of plane crashes and ships disappearing. And it's constantly surrounded by like a storm, and you can't get into it. And we know from previous King Kong movies that this is an island. I think what John Goodman says in the movie is it is an island, or maybe John C. Reilly says this, it is an island where God never finished his creation.
I think that was John Goodman.
Yeah,
it sounds like a very John. Scene. John Goodman actually said that in most things that he's in.
He says it, I think, he yells it at Smokey in The Big Lebowski.
He says it in Roseanne, the remake.
Topical. Too topical. The plot of this movie is largely centered around characters being separated on the island. So I want to focus this most of our discussion here actually on the action for once, because
it's very action heavy.
Yes, the plot is I actually think it's pretty enjoyable, but the action sequences are the reason I recommended that Max watch this movie and that we talk about it.
But I mean, the whole plot essentially is that they get separated on the island and they're trying to get back to a rendezvous point.
Right.
That's essentially the whole thing. And then it's just whatever the characters are doing. We already talked about Samuel L. Jackson. He's the only character basically with an agenda. Besides trying to get it off the island?
Yeah, yeah.
So we can get right into it. So one of the things that I like about this movie, and this will go into the first big action sequence, is that it kind of harkens to a lot of different movie genres. The obvious one is going to be the Vietnam War movie genre. It relies heavily upon techniques used in those, basically to emulate it. Not even like an homage, basically like straight... This is we are almost like shooting a Vietnam War movie at Skull Island. But there's different big things. One of the things that my dad always says about why he likes the movie Aliens is that it kind of has this really big trope of that is from different war movies about a military crew that is going to an expedition in which they are doomed to fail. And that reminds me a lot of it going in there, because maybe 5 minutes that they are on the island, not even in runtime, the time that they are literally on the island, they are attacked by...
Well, they're not even on it. They're still flying. Some of them have landed, but...
Yeah,
a helicopter is taken out via tree.
And it's great.
Yeah. So the helicopter sequence is maybe my favorite part of the movie. Long story short, I really enjoy a lot about this movie. It's not trying to win Best Picture, but I think it is very well made. And the action sequences are, I just think, tremendous. And it starts off, you have a whole bunch of helicopters flying onto this island through a storm. They get through. It's beautiful scenery. They're flying around. They put on Paranoid by Ozzy Osbourne, which is sick. The music in the movie is great. There's a lot of great songs of that era. Yeah.
Any guitar-driven song that you might have heard in a Vietnam War movie is in this movie. I think Fortunate Son's in here, which is
I don't think it is. I think
anything
that's
sounds like Fortunate Son is in this movie.
Not
honestly.
Fortunate Son, the song that's in every other Vietnam War movie.
Especially the Vietnam part of Forrest Gump.
So the helicopters are on the island very quickly. Kong shows up, and it's Kong versus helicopters. And we've seen King Kong versus airplanes before. That's his most famous, it's how he's defeated in every King Kong movie. But here he wrecks these helicopters. And it's just, I think, such a cool sequence. The reason I like this movie a lot is I think it's just so well directed. There's lots of really great shots and what they do with the lighting in that scene. The shot of Kong silhouetted against like the sun with the helicopters flying in. The slow-mo aerial view of the helicopters from the top.
Once again, going back to a lot of techniques used in these war movies.
It's so well done. And I also love just like little touches. Like I love the shot when one of the helicopters that has a lot of our main characters on it goes down. It's like this very like, you know, it's jerky camera because the camera's in the helicopter and it's like spiraling down and it's plummeting towards the ground. And then they just cut to the Richard Nixon bobblehead on the dashboard of the helicopter just going back and forth, and then they hit the ground. I love that. I just love little touches like that. I think it's the sign of like a well-made movie.
And the sequence is also so great because basically by the time they break through this, the perpetual storm that is around the island, you want them to die so much, or at least the military dudes, because they are so like... how arrogant they are, and you just want not necessarily to die, but you want something to come back to them for like their arrogance, because they are literally going to blow up parts of this island for research, and they're dropping bombs on natural life that's down there,
which is why Kong attacks,
because they're harming, or yeah,
they're going to awake the skull crawlers, which we will talk about later.
Ooh, yes. But you know they're you know damaging the environment. They're damaging the environment, and you're just like, okay, someone's got to stop them. And then Kong comes and murders most of them. Murder's a strong word, but kills most of them. And you root for Kong in that.
Yeah. So this is a movie. I mean, we don't have to worry too much about giving away plot stuff. I'd rather just sort of talk about big action set pieces and things. Long story short. Already said that once. You have your characters separated on the island. You have Tom Hiddleston and Brie Larson together with a couple other soldiers, or one other soldier, I guess, who we actually get to know a little bit better. And he's like not as macho man as the other ones. And then you have Samuel L. Jackson with his crew of soldiers who live, and he's with John Goodman and some of the other science guys. You have one soldier who gets separated from the rest in a lot of the driving force of like Samuel L. Jackson's plot is trying to get back to him because he doesn't want to leave any of his men behind. That guy ends up dying. But so you have your characters traversing the island, and along the way, Tom Hiddleston and his crew meet up with the natives on the island, as most King Kong, every King Kong movie, there are people on the island, and they are living with John C. Reilly, who crashed there in World War II as a fighter pilot, and that is the first scene of the movie.
Yeah, I think that's a really cool thing, because even, I don't know, because it seemed just like a really hokey way to introduce Kong's character at the beginning. It's a cold open at the beginning with World War II, two fighter jets, one from the American side, one from the Japanese side, land on the island, and they're fighting. In the middle of the fight, Kong shows up, and then it goes to black, and then it goes to a pretty cool title sequence, I actually think so.
Yeah.
But yes, meet John C. Reilly, and he is the... he is the character of exposition. He lets us know about what the deal with the island is. It's a kind of a different background than the other King Kongs that we are more familiar with. In this version, they are the giant apes were like a family. It was like a race of protectors of the island, and the Skull Crawlers, which is a name that John C. Reilly came up with and only said it in his head until he said it out loud.
I love that scene.
I've only kept it in my mind because the natives on the island do not speak. So he's only been saying things in his head. That they were the things protecting the island. They were the guardians of the island, and something happened. Well, the Skullcrawlers attacked and killed the rest of Kong's family, and Kong is the last member of this family protecting the island.
Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about like some of the themes of the movie that I think are really interesting. I feel like just what the movie has to say about war is interesting. And
what is it good for?
Oh, absolutely nothing.
The
pointlessness of a lot of the sort of soldiers' actions and things like that, all the way down to that opening scene, which I like because you have, like Max said, there's an American fighter pilot and a Japanese fighter pilot who crash on Skull Island, and they continue to fight even after they crash when there is no point to the war at that stage. Like, there's no reason for them to fight. They're stranded on an island.
And they become best friends.
Yeah,
that's revealed
yeah.
by John C. Reilly.
Exactly. And throughout the whole movie, there's lots of points where the soldiers will try to fight Kong and they just get killed. There's a great moment when one of the soldiers who we've gotten to know a little bit attempts to sacrifice himself and take down the big skull crawler, and it just does not work at all. He just gets killed and does not impact the monster at all. I think it's a very it's like an anti-war movie hidden within a giant monster fighting movie,
mm-hmm.
And I just think that's super interesting.
And my favorite part with that, kind of going back to the anti-war stance, even specifically for like a situation like Vietnam that it comments on, even though it's set after that it happens. One of the things on the island, or one of the things that they mentioned about the island, I can't remember who says it. I think it's John C. Reilly says that, you know, there are bad things here, but there's also really good things. Mm-hmm. And there's also a lot of basically just neutral things on the island that may look dangerous, but they don't deserve to be killed. And then transpose that against, you know, Samuel L. Jackson, and he's basically killing anything that he sees there.
Right.
And I don't it doesn't go too deep into this, but I wonder if that's saying a little bit something about the situation in Vietnam, that, you know, there were bad things there, but there were also, you know, beautiful things, good people there as well, and basically being, you know, some people who treated the area as such, kind of I don't know, that's not a fully formed thought, but I definitely think that it says something about that.
It is a movie. It's called, you know, I was expecting like a dumb, fun action movie, and it actually made me think a lot. It has, in my opinion, a lot of its stances on killing and even stuff like thoughts about environmentalism, when you have people wrecking the environment and the mm-hmm. species, remind me a lot of the sort of complex feelings about environmentalism. You see in a lot of like Miyazaki movies where you have people, you have like giant monsters and stuff that are defenders of nature. And, but yeah, so,
this is also, so one thing I want to say is that this is my favorite Kong I've ever seen.
Really?
I like Kong in like the original version and the, what would be the Jack Black version, the Peter Jackson version. But I don't know. I felt like they did not, I don't want to say too much, but I mean, there are just very specific moments where they intentionally basically characterize him.
I thought your favorite Kong, not your favorite King Kong movie.
Oh, my favorite Kong, the
okay,
person.
Okay, I see.
The individual.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Like, there are my favorite, like, the easy thing to reference is that there is a point where they just show a shot of Kong looking at the stars, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you never really get to see that much depth in a giant monster in different movies, except when he is in, like, the other movies and being really nice to the woman that he is, has taken a liking to.
Yeah.
But you really just see him being an individual and being a three-dimensional character that way. My favorite part that kind of shows this more dimensionality is there's one point where Brie Larson is trying to free a creature from under the grabs of a helicopter, yeah. Or is it a plane?
It's a helicopter.
It's a helicopter. She can't get it, obviously, because it's a whole helicopter. He takes it up, and I think they're attacked, and I can't remember what happens. It's like they're attacked, or he just moves it and puts it away, and then he just looks at her like, come on, seriously, and then walks away. And I thought that was really cool, because it's like, I feel like in other movies, it'd be either Kong threatens her or Kong takes her and goes away with her. But instead, we get like this solitary figure of Kong as a god and a king, especially to the people of that particular Skull Island.
Yeah. Well, he's a more complex character than other Kongs, because he actually, it's implied that he has lost his entire family,
mm-hmm.
and that he is aware that he is like the last defender of the island. His tragedy has already occurred to him, versus Kong is like a very tragic figure in every movie because he dies at the end. Like, his, you know, going into a movie called King Kong, that we're going to meet him, he's going to be scary, we're going to learn to see that he's actually not that bad, and that man is the, you know, the true monster, and beauty killed the beast, and then he's going to come back and get shot, right, and die. But in this movie, he's alive at the end and he's triumphant. But that's not to say that he hasn't also lost a lot already. And we're talking about a 50-foot ape. So
yeah, I know.
It's pretty cool.
For like the last 5 minutes, we were talking about an ape.
Yeah. Do you have any other thoughts?
I've got a couple of stuff. Oh, one of the, so there are just like a lot of cool techniques that are employed in this movie that I enjoy a lot. It's a ton of letterboxing, changing of aspect ratios.
Oh, that's actually just the HBO edit is not supposed
really?
To. Yeah. It's,
why does it do that then?
So I actually read into this because I found it very annoying. When they were, Jordan Bode Roberts, I read a whole article about this. He was asked to do the airplane edit and condense it down to play on an airplane screen. And he was saying how there are some shots where Kong's the shot is specifically lined up so that Kong's eyes are on both sides of the screen, meaning you cannot condense it at all because it'll cut him off. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the shots are meant to be aired like that. So he said, well, what if we cut a, you know, leave those shots as they are, but the rest of it we condense? And HBO, for whatever reason, which is where the movie is currently streaming, is airing the airplane edit instead of the edit that is all in widescreen.
I kind of like it. so I just think it's a really cool technique because there are even scenes where it like very slowly goes from letterbox to or widescreen to full screen. And I thought it was just like a technique. And maybe when he was making the edit, he thought that. I don't know. It was a cool effect for me. But there are other plot devices that are directorial devices that are not specifically made for airplanes. As Will mentioned, Brie Larson has a camera in this movie. And as we mentioned, she's a wartime photographer. And a lot of – at different points in the movie, she will be taking pictures. And you see them through, like, the lens of the camera. And I think that's actually a pretty powerful part of the movie as well because, you know – all the different pictures kind of invoke what you feel when maybe if you've seen like old pictures from like actual war photographers who are in Vietnam. So I thought that was a very cool part of it as well. I can't really remember. There are also one of my favorite parts in the movies is like they will be like, oh, don't forget we're in the 70s, and they'll just talk about something like the whole like projector at the beginning. There's a projector when they're like talking about like Skull Island. They have a I can't remember what it's called. Just like a frame by frame or something like that, a magic lantern show, not that old, but just has a frame by frame thing, and the camera will zooms on it in on it a bunch. I actually enjoyed that. It didn't get too annoying, and the fighting in this movie is very anatomically correct.
Yeah.
Like people be thrown and then their arms will come off because that's what would have happened if a 50-foot ape grabbed you by the arm.
It's a very violent PG-13 movie, mm-hmm. Which I like a lot. I mean, I would love to see an R-rated version of it that like completely gave in to the violence. But yeah, and just to talk quickly about like the final battle between Kong and the big skull crawler, I think that's a really cool fight sequence. Mm-hmm. It's shots, you know, one of my biggest problems with the Godzilla movie of 2014 was you could not see any of the monster fights. I love a good monster fight movie, even if the plot is garbage, which the plot in this movie is actually, I think, pretty good. Mm-hmm. At least the characters are. And in this movie, you can just, they show you the whole thing. You can follow it all. It's not shaky or anything like that. And it's great. I like it. I also am a big fan of the brief Kong versus giant squid fight.
Oh, yeah. That's really cool. That comes really out of nowhere, cool. And it's awesome.
And it's just for like 10 seconds, and you just see him destroy this squid.
A lot of this movie is just seeing Kong be Kong, which is really cool.
It's very cool.
As well. Not just interacting with that, but seeing him in his elements.
Yeah.
Also, there's a scene where, and I watched this movie with my girlfriend, and the only thing that she told me to mention in this podcast is that a scientist is lifted in the air by a bunch of pterodactyls, and then his limbs are ripped off of him by these pterodactyls.
Yeah.
And it's a very cool visual because it's silhouetted against the sun, which is a common motif throughout this movie, is the setting sun.
Yeah.
What else is that saying about humanity? The last thing that I'll say is that my favorite movie favorite line in this movie is there'll never be a more screwed up time in Washington, which is something that they say in the year 1976. And I wonder if they're saying anything about current situations.
Could be. Topical.
Very topical.
I think that line was about Roseanne.
Topical.
Cool. Should we do ratings and recs?
Oh, yeah. Let's do ratings and recs. You go first.
Okay. I'll go first. I like this movie. I would probably give it 3 out of 4 stars. I think it's really solid. It is a great action movie that will make you think a little bit about war and it is for a movie with lots of fighting. It actually makes you question why people are fighting and whether that's the right thing to be doing. And as an action movie, I would give it maybe 8 out of 10 or something like that. It's got some really, really great action sequences in it. And, yeah.
I am also going to give this movie 3 out of 4 stars. Just a really, really solid movie. Really fun to watch. Makes you think a little bit. There are parts of the movie that somewhat feel, I don't want to say superficial. I think that has a lot of really, really high concept like plot devices, such as shooting it as a Vietnam War movie, the camera device that I was talking about a little bit earlier, one of the high value like cinematography, a lot of silhouetting. I wish that it talked a little bit more, or at least connected a lot of the things to like the Vietnam War, like when I was going back and trying to like piece together some meaning to the actual war in Vietnam. I wish there was something a little bit more specific. I didn't want to be hit over the head with it, obviously, but I wanted something a little bit in terms of that. But then as an action movie, I'm going to give this 8.5 out of 10. Yeah, 8.5 out of 10 John C. Reilly's with katanas.
Ooh, yes.
And this is a very cool visual as well. Just because I really, really fun is the best word I can use. I had a ton of fun just watching a lot of the sequences here with Kong, with any of the actors. When Tom Hiddleston was probably Tom Hiddleston is probably your least favorite like part of a movie, it's probably a really good movie.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'd say about those. I want to thank Will for inviting me to watch this for the podcast, because I would not have watched it otherwise.
It's great. I meant to mention, I think the sound design in the movie is really great. Mm-hmm. Like the monster noises, and it's also great. And I love in the final fight scene, I love the when Brie Larson shoots the skull crawler in the face with that flare gun. Just the way they shoot that and the noise it makes, and you feel like you're like, how can any of these humans actually impact this thing? And it's all through the noises it makes, and you realize, oh, that's like, I don't know, it's just a perfectly done, executed little moment. I think it's so cool. And just the whole movie is very well made. And the CGI is great. I mean, the effects are awesome.
Kong looks really good.
It all looks good. I mean, in every fight, and we're still just talking about it, but every fight sequence looks cool. Like when they're in that really smoky area fighting the skull crawlers.
Ooh, yeah.
The final fight scene, the helicopter scene, the big like spider thing and the bamboo is super cool. It's great. But we can do our recommendations. I will go first, I guess. I'm going to recommend a movie that's very different from Kong Skull Island, but I recently got a chance to see this on the big screen. It is a movie from the 1980s, and it is a very fun horror movie called Basket Case. It is a really dumb movie. Some of the acting in it is, horrible. Like no one in the movie is well known. For those of you who are unaware of the plot, it is a young man arrives in New York City, and he is carrying with him a mysterious basket. And we learn eventually that within the basket is the basically blob of flesh that was once his conjoined twin, and who they were forced to be separated. And now he and the twin are out to kill all the scientists who separated them. It's a very, very fun movie. If you ever have some friends over and you want to watch a really good bad movie, I'm not even sure if that's the right word to describe it. It probably is. This is a great movie to watch. And on a more serious note, it also has just some really cool shots of like New York in the late 1980s. The whole movie just looks filthy. It's just like the places they're staying in are just disgusting. And he's walking around just gross streets and alleys. And
would you want to escape from New York?
You know what? I actually watched that recently as well.
Yeah. It's a good movie.
It's good. Yeah, yeah. But
it's also just a fun kind of bad movie.
Yeah, yeah. It's not – I don't think it's one of my favorite John Carpenter movies. But, Basket Case, it's really dumb and very, very funny. You will have a few drinks and watch it like I did.
My recommendation, in the tradition of non-traditional recommendations, no, I'm not recommending any certain breed of cat. This time of year is one of my favorite times of year, particularly in terms of watching sports. And if you're a pretty big fan of sports, I would strongly recommend watching the Stanley Cup playoffs. Now, I know that they're over this year, but you can always make time to watch them next year. Because, well, I mean, I'm a huge hockey fan, and a lot of my friends know that, but I can even admit that watching hockey during the regular season can just be pretty boring unless you have a dog in the fight, unless you have a specific team you're rooting for. But the spectacle that is the Stanley Cup playoffs, there is nothing in sports that compare to it. And if you need to know anything about that, I would watch just one video of Alexander Ovechkin lifting the Stanley Cup and screaming at the top of his lungs, because he has been berated his entire career for never having won a cup. He finally did it and literally expelled all his demons in one single yell. And then someone pressed their boobs against the glass because it was Vegas that they won the cup in. But we don't have to talk about that. It's a little recommendation. I know it's not what we do in terms of popular culture. But if you like events and narrative, I think definitely the Stanley Cup playoffs are something to check out next year when it comes around in the middle of April. So keep that on the radar.
Max recommends boobs. Okay, guys.
I give it 2 out of 2.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening once again. If you haven't watched this movie, which it did decently well, but like I don't know a ton of people have seen it. It's on HBO Go right now. Check it out. It's a really good movie. I think it deserves a lot more acclaim. Like, it got pretty good reviews, but I think it deserves a lot more acclaim and just like notoriety than
just
it has.
Recognition. Not yeah. A lot of people talk about it.
It's a good movie, and you can watch it for free if you have HBO. Although I will say, like, if you get annoyed by letterboxing like me, maybe buy or rent the Blu-ray or rent it on iTunes or something. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Yeah, check us out next week when we review Deadpool 2.
All right, thanks, everyone.
That's it, man. Game over, man. Game over.
It's over.
Nothing is over.
Nothing is over until we decide it is.
It's over. Go home.
Hasta la vista, baby.